You know, this is the time of the year, and really this week is where you see a lot of good things being done in society, right? People are leaving bigger tips. People are being there for one another more, it seems like, and people are just trying to be genuinely a good person. And I guess that comes with what they call the quote-unquote holiday season. But unfortunately, it seems like this is only the time of the year where we really talk about it, and when we really see things happen from that standpoint of people that are genuinely out there trying to what we'll call making a difference. And I want to read a quick snippet of a story here. It says, Margaret Sangster, the social worker, told her colleagues about seeing a small boy in an urban ghetto sitting in the stairs of a tenant. He appeared little more than a bit of twisted human flesh. The youngster had been struck by an automobile several months before, but his parents neglected to get him proper medical attention. Although not part of her caseload, she took the boy to an orthopedist and learned that through the involved series of operations, the child's body could be normal again. She cut through the bureaucratic red tape, raised the funds, and set the process of cure in motion. 2 years after the child entered the hospital, he came to her office. To her astonishment, the lad walked in without crutches, and to demonstrate the completeness of his recovery, he turned a cartwheel for her. The two embraced, and when the youngster left, Margaret Sangster reported that a warm glow mantled the entire office. She said to herself, if I never accomplish anything else in my life, at least there is one young man to whom I can point to where I have made a real difference. At that point, she paused in her presentation and asked, this was several years ago now, where do you think this boy is today? Caught up, she says, in the emotion of that moment, several made suggestions. A school teacher, a physician perhaps, maybe even a social worker. There was a long pause, and with even deeper emotion, Margaret Sangster said, no, he's in a penitentiary for one of the most foulest crimes a human being can ever commit. Then she added, I was instrumental in teaching him how to walk again, but there was no one to teach him where to walk. And so oftentimes we feel as though that we see that happening in society today, right? We see a certain period of time where somebody is willing and wanting to help someone, but then when the additional help needs to become involved or the additional help needs to be presented, it just seems to not be there any longer. And so what I want to talk to us this morning is how you and I as Christians can make a difference. Making a difference. I did this sermon around the time of our last election, when it seems that no matter what aisle that you sat on, everyone was open and willing to cut the throat of the other person. It didn't seem to matter what issues you had or what issues you stood on, whatever the case might be. If you wore a red t-shirt, you know, that, of course, obviously our president now had the MAGA, right? The Make America Great Again was a red hat or a red t-shirt with the sayings on it. If you wore even just a red t-shirt, people would think that you were for his side, and obviously that you would become very picked on, so to speak. But Jude, the only chapter, verse 17 here, it says, but beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there were mockers in the last times. There should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Why then should we even bother? Some questions that are presenting themselves to you. Why should we bother even making a difference in the world and in people's lives? Can I really have that great of an impact on someone else? There's no greater feeling than the sense of helping someone. Have you ever done that yourself? Maybe even it's just helping the neighbor get groceries out of a car or mowing their grass or something along those lines. Helping a complete stranger that you've never even met before and seeing the utter joy that's on their face. About a month ago, I was standing in the Chipotle line in Beaver Creek there, and there were two young airmen right in front of me. And I know what young airmen get paid, and it's not a lot. And so I was sitting there debating with myself, you know, hey, should I pay for them? Should I not? Would it be rude? Would it not be rude? And so we get to the cashier's line, and the one gal says, hey, I'm paying for you today. And the other gal says, no, I'm paying for you today. And so they were going back and forth. And so one of them hands the card. And so the cashier looks at both of them and says, okay, am I doing separate transactions or what am I doing? And so I thought to myself, that's God opening the door. And so I got in there and handed my card. I said, let me settle this debate real quickly. And I said, let me pay for both of you guys. And the one gal turned to me, and I didn't mean to be a stalker, but she was on her phone, and on the background of her phone was her and a little girl, what I would assume maybe was her daughter. And so after I did that, the girl immediately to my right looked at me. Tears just started welling up in her eyes, and she said, sir, is there any way that I could give you a hug? And I said, absolutely. You know, I just paid for your $8 meal. It's not a big deal, but to me at least. But how that made me feel, knowing that I touched her life in some way, shape, or form. I don't know her from Adam. I don't know what's going on in her life. But that sense of me being able to help her and seeing the reaction that it had to her made me feel like I was on cloud nine. How often do you brighten up the lives of others with special acts of kindness? Paying for a meal, helping them work on a project, or just maybe being there to listen to them vent to you about specific things that are going on in their life. And how often do you look for opportunities to touch the lives of other people? You know, again, we live in a very cutthroat world today. It's all for yourselves. All we do is focus on self and self alone. Very rarely do you see opportunities, or do you see storylines of people that take advantage of opportunities because they're wanting and willing to help someone else. You see it all over social media where people say, there are a few good men in this world, there are a few good people in this world. And we make a statement like that because the news media and a lot of other folks just simply don't talk about it anymore. What about the storyline of the Good Samaritan in the New Testament scriptures? I invite you to turn over to Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. In Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, it says, and I'm reading from the Old King James Version this morning, it says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto them, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, well, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus, in verse 30, answering, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, in verse 35, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay you. Which of these three, thinkest thou, was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and you do likewise. What a great storyline, what a great example for us to think about and abide by today. Samaritans were despised by Jews because they were known as the half-breeds, half Jew, half Gentile, right? And so you first see a priest come by, walks by on one side, completely ignores the man. Then you see a Levite walk by on the other side, and of all people to stop and to help this man and to show this person compassion, it was a Samaritan. So this is precisely why Jesus mentioned the Samaritan in this parable. He would be the least likely to ever help out a fellow Jew. What a great example that Jesus lies before us here today, or lays before us here today. The Samaritans also had a hate that was equal to that held by the Jews. Who would we be like today in today's church as a Christian? The priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan? When we extend that love and compassion to someone who believes differently than us, or that society tells us that we should hate, If I wear a Republican hat and I see a Democrat that is struggling, do I completely turn my cheek and walk the other way, walk by the wayside? Or do I put down politics for 5 minutes and help out a fellow human being? Maybe even a fellow Christian. So, do you want to make a difference? Do you want to be solely responsible for maybe helping somebody get off of the couch, so to speak, get on their own 2 feet and help them in their walk of life? In order to do that, brothers and sisters in Christ, we've got to understand that we must work on self first. I cannot help someone else if I myself am down. I cannot help someone else if I'm not willing to help myself as well to get myself where I need to be in life also. I have to work on myself being a better husband, being a better wife or husband, overall being a better spouse. I can't help another person with their marriage if mine is completely in turmoil as well, or at least it's very difficult. I've got to work on being a better parent, being a better father, being a better mother. I've got to work on being a better Christian for the cause of Jesus Christ. We see over in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 1, he says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." And so many times, we like to cut out the rest of that chapter, at least the world does. We look at verse 1 and says, "You're not supposed to judge me." But the entire storyline here, and the entire really chapter, is so powerful. In verse 2 it says, "For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye?" And Jesus here says, "You hypocrite! First cast out the beam out of your own eye, then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye." We must understand that things start with me. I know to a lot of us we might think, well, that sounds selfish. But in order for me to judge and or help other people, I've got to make sure that I'm seeing clearly as I possibly can so that when I'm presented with that situation, I can give the best kind of advice, and or I can just be the best kind of listener that you need me to be. We must understand that things of this nature start with us. If we want to be part of fixing wounds and divides that separate us in this world, or even in the church, it begins with me looking in the mirror. There's great divide no matter where you go. Society torn in two. Politics completely torn in two. Maybe even in three parts. Sadly enough, the Lord's church torn into as well. Jeremy Wellborn, that goes to worship with us, has been all over the world and being in the Air Force. And he said he attended a congregation, I believe he said it was in Mississippi, but he said there was an older building, and he said they had covered up the communion with a kind of a cloth. And he said they did that to kind of keep flies away from the bread and from the fruit of the vine and everything. Well, this building ended up getting an air conditioner. And so they thought, well, you know, great, we have air conditioning now. The flies are kind of keeping away and everything. And so as time went by, one of the brethren said, "Well, we no longer need this cloth." So they took the cloth away. He said, "You would not believe the division that taking a cloth away from the Lord's table created in that congregation, to the point where," he said, "about 7 to 10 people ended up leaving because of a cloth on the Lord's table." Do we want to be part of the solution, or are we part of the problem? Do we want to help create and make differences in the lives of other people, or are we part of the overall problem and overall issues? It begins with me looking in the mirror. So, what am I willing to do? What am I willing to bring? What boundaries am I willing to bust down in my own life? I'll tell you, if you lived back in the 1960s when segregation was absolutely ridiculous and how the Caucasians treated the African Americans and everything, it's mind-boggling that was what our society was. And even in almost 2020, we still have issues of race, gender, sex, all sorts of other different things. We can't look upon each other as a human being, right? And that's the beauty about God. That's the beauty about Christianity. God sees no color. God doesn't care of your nationality. God doesn't care what language that you speak. God doesn't care where you are from. God has instructed you and I, and all of us of different races, of different nationalities, all of us, to come to repentance, to obey Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, in order for me to make a difference, number one, I'll go through these kind of quickly. Number one, I've got to be willing to listen. James chapter 1, verse 19 beginning says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." Yet in our society today, we take this verse and absolutely jumble it all together. Seems like that we are swift to speak, that we are slow to learn, we are swift to wrath, swift to get vengeance. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. If you are one that lives in that turmoil, lives in that situation where you are completely jumbling these verses together, you are not working the righteousness of God. And I think that's pretty evident here to see this morning. We got to hear people out. We got to understand them before casting out judgment or drawing conclusions. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7, he says, "Do ye look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trust himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again. As he is Christ's, even so we are Christ's." Do we judge a book by its cover? Or are we wanting and willing to sit down and open up a few pages to see exactly what it is that we're dealing with and or who it is that we are dealing with? I tell you, it's so sad, especially having a son with special needs and everything. It's so sad to see, and even in the school systems today, when you see somebody that's different, whether in school or anywhere, right? You see somebody that's different, that doesn't fit the norm, our judgment antennas just come flying out of our heads, don't they? Just come flying out of our heads. We are so quick to judge other people. Even in the church today, we are so quick to judge sometimes, and we have to be careful of those things, making sure that we are fully understanding and comprehending that situation and or that person. Sometimes people just need an ear to listen to them, not always seeking a response. I remember one time I was on the phone with a Christian for over an hour. I maybe said 5 minutes worth of something. And it probably started off with, "Hello, how are you doing?" They just needed to vent to somebody. They just needed somebody to listen to them. They didn't need my conclusion. They didn't need my opinion. Because at the end of that conversation, without me even really saying anything, they said, "Man, do I feel better now?" And sometimes it happens with all of us. So we think listening is easy, but Matthew 13:13 says, "Therefore speak I then in parables, because seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." So Jesus here is saying, I've tried to go approach them the easy way and just kind of tell them directly, but, you know, seeing they see not, they're not listening, they're not understanding, they're not comprehending, so now I've got to talk to them in what this call is parables or these storylines. Listening is not always easy, especially in the early church when, you know, we're getting away with the old commandments or the old law, bringing in this new law and this fight over which law am I going to listen to, right? Secondly, we need to be willing to build a rapport. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 5, it says, "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been the burdensome, as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." Look at the passion that he has for these people. And he says here, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse that's nurturing a child." I have seen legitimately sometimes in the church where somebody walks through those doors and Christians go back there with a sledgehammer and just start beating them to pieces. I've seen when people obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's this mentality of, "Hey, you better have your act together right here, right now. You're a Christian. There's no room for errors. There's no room for sin. Hey, you need to get it right now, right here, right now." That's not cherishing anything. And I think we all know that to be true. How genuine are we about wanting to know another person, their background, where they currently find themselves, etc.? It's not about us trying to impress when building a rapport among other people. It's about us genuinely wanting to get to know them, who they are, what their background is, what their history is, and you know, with their upbringing, all of these things are so vital, so key, and so important in the lives of another person. How would you feel if you met somebody and in the first 2 minutes of meeting them, they start judging you right out of the bat? You know, to yourself, you're thinking, you don't know me. I'm like, what's going on here? In a day, we saw this quote by Dr. Henry Luchetti. He says, in a day when suspicions run high toward leaders in business, politics, friendships, and the church, rapport between the preacher and listeners has never been more necessary. I asked a couple of you just yesterday, what's a congregation need? What do you guys want to hear? Any specific subjects? Anything to stay away from? You know, what do you guys need to hear? What are some struggles going on in the congregation? I need to get to know you better if I'm going to have any kind of effect as a minister or in ministry. That's my job. And that's all of our preachers' job. Third and final, we got to provide encouragement. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, it says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Have you ever got done with a conversation with someone and all they did, call them the negative Nellies, right? They just negative, 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 negative. And after a 10-minute conversation with them, you almost feel like you just ran a 10K. Like, man, I'm exhausted talking to that person because they had nothing nice to say about anybody or about anything. But on the flip side of that, when you get off the phone with someone, there's a brother in our congregation. He turns 85 years old this week. His name is Millard Collins, for those that might know his name. He's one of the most energetic guys you'll ever meet. More energy in the pulpit than I will ever have behind this pulpit. And being at the age that he has is just so remarkable. But there's times when I get off the phone with him, or there's another sister, just different Christians that I can think of that pop in the forefront of my mind. There's times when I get off the phone with them, I think, why did that conversation have to end? That was so refreshing. I just feel so good talking to them. Kenny Alexander, for those of you who might know Helen Alexander, Sister Ruby, I don't see her this morning, her sister, so it would have been her brother-in-law. He was one of those guys. Oh, Brock, I've had cancer, I've had prostate cancer, I've broken a hip and fractured this and fractured that, but every single time at the end of that he says, but you know what, I've been so blessed. Oh, the Lord has blessed me and Helen so richly. Oh, we've been married for such and such many years, and a lot of people don't make it. Oh, I've been so blessed. And just to hear that rapport, that encouragement, to me, it does wonders. Think about what I'm posting on social media. My goodness, that's a lesson in and of itself. Is what I'm providing on social media a benefit to other people that's going to read this and or hear this? Am I providing opinion? Am I providing something that's going to put a smile on someone else's face? Or am I starting up a bad rapport here? Am I starting up a bad conversation? I've seen it happen many, many times in the past. Somebody will post something up there for the sole purpose of starting some kind of something. What's our motive, brothers and sisters in Christ, for saying, doing, posting some of the things that we do? 1 Thessalonians 4:18, he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you have comforting words that come out of your mouth? I tell you, you have no idea the difference that it makes in somebody's life just to sit down and talk to somebody and have a positive conversation. The positive impact that that has on someone's life. And you know why I say that? Because I've been in those shoes. You've been in those shoes. We're talking to somebody just about something great and encouraging. Has been so great and almost feeds our souls. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So we get the comfort from God, and we do then turn around and comfort those who might be in tribulation or trials or anything that they're struggling with. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That's a powerful verse, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I encourage you to highlight that and underline that in your Bibles if you haven't done so already. He comforts us in all of our tribulation. That's what we expect. Are we willing to offer that same kind of piece of advice to someone else? Last slide I'm going to leave you with here this morning is probably one of the single-handedly the greatest things I've ever witnessed on TV being said. I'm a huge NBA basketball fan. I think most of you know that by now. Huge Boston Celtics fan. And on Thursday night games, the primetime games is on TNT, cable network TNT. And there's a show on there that's a pregame show and a postgame show hosted by Shaquille O'Neal, famous basketball player, Kenny, they call him Kenny the Jet Smith, and a guy named Ernie Johnson. And around the 2016 election, when everything was just going crazy that particular time, right, they were giving their different thoughts and opinions, not on basketball, but on politics. And so Shaq was saying, oh, you know, this guy's got, you know, got Twitter, runs his mouth, and all this kind of stuff. And Kenny Smith said, oh, we're just living in a terrible day and age now where there's such a divide and all this kind of stuff. And Ernie Johnson went last, single-handedly the best thing I've ever heard on television network, period. Ernie Johnson said these words on TNT back on November the 9th, 2016. He says, number three, I know you're not supposed to talk about politics and religion, but we're already talking about politics, so I'm going to go to the R direction too. I never know from one election to the next who's going to be in the Oval Office, but I always know who's on the throne, and I'm on this... But I always know who's on the throne, and I'm on this earth because God created me, and that's who I answer to. I'm a Christian. I follow this guy named Jesus. You may have heard of him. And the greatest commandment he gave me was to love others, and Scripture also tells us to pray for our leaders, and that's what I'm going to do. I am going to pray for Donald Trump. I'm going to pray for all these people who feel like they're on the outside, that should be looking in, who are afraid at this point. Pray for them too. In short, I'm praying for America, and I'm praying that one day we're going to look back and say, you know what? That Donald Trump presidency, that was all right, but I will be praying. Incredible to have somebody, a figure of Ernie Johnson, say such words as these. So again, no matter what aisle that you sit on, no matter what color your skin is, your nationality, whatever the case might be in life, period, are you wanting and willing to make a difference in the lives of other people? Most importantly, for us here this morning that are striving to live the Christian life, are you wanting and willing to bring others to Jesus Christ? God provides opportunities for us all the time. There were windows of opportunity, just like I was standing in the Chipotle line. Well, there was an opportunity and I was wrestling with it. Rather than just like, man, I'm going to do this. Of course I'm going to do this. We wrestle with those God-given opportunities. God gives them to us every single day. What are you willing and wanting to do with those opportunities? How much of a difference are you wanting and willing to make in the lives of other people? We love you and we appreciate you so much. If there's those in the audience here this morning that are not yet Christians, we can assist you through baptism for the remission of your sins here this morning. Or if you are a Christian and have severed your relationship with Christ in some way, shape, or form, and are just struggling in some way, shape, or form, and you want the prayers of the saints, we invite you to take that opportunity to do so this time. While together we stand and sing praises to God. Thank you.